Thanks for tuning in to the Eastern Current Saltwater Fishing Podcast presented by Florida Fishing Products. I've been fishing the Florida reels now for a few seasons, and I've been nothing but impressed. The quality and durability of their reels are second to none. The Solas, Bahia, and Osprey CE cover all the bases for your inshore light tackle setups, whether you're a weekend warrior or a year-round guide. If you like pulling on big fish, they have you covered as well with their Resolute Series reels. Go check out their reels online at floridafishingproducts.com or click the link in the podcast show notes. On today's episode, I get to chat with Boston Underwood from Virginia Beach. We chat all about when, where, and how to target giant speckled trout in shallow water, as well as his love for kayak fishing. I know y'all will love this episode, so stay tuned. Being on the water day in and day out throughout the season, our boats take a beating. Whether we need fiberglass work, new non-skid, hull painting, rigging, and electrical, or full-blown custom restoration, Brock Boatworks has you covered. Specializing in high-end skiffs, bay boats, and center consoles, their attention to detail and customer service ensures that you have the work done right the first time so you don't have to get it done again. You can find their information in the podcast show notes. What's going on, Boston? Thanks for joining me on the podcast. We've been you've been very patient and flexible with me time-wise. I know we've been talking about it for a few weeks, and we're both busy dudes, but excited to have you on and talk about your fishery up there in Virginia Beach.
Hey, Doug, thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, for sure, man. I think we're going to have a fun conversation. So whenever I have a new guest on, I really like to give time for kind of an introduction, and I'd like you to take us kind of through your story of how you found fishing and how it's brought you to – you know, the avid kayak angler that you are today.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it started out with my father. You know, my dad would often tell me, you know, that, he pretty much placed the fishing rod in my hand before I was able to walk, so we started out, you know, just going to piers, you know, little island fishing pier, sometimes Lynn Haven, pier out in Ocean View, you know, myself, my older brother, we would all, you know, tag along and, you know, this is at a very, very early age, obviously. And, you know, we just, I don't know, it's just, I got hooked from a very young age, you know, and, you know, just through the years, you know, just, you know, throughout the years, you know, I fished hard. There are other periods of the years where, you know, where I didn't. You know, just went to school, came back, you know, ever since I came back, from, college, you know, just fished on and off. But, basically within the past, I would say like 5-6 years, I've been fishing really, you know, really hard as of late. And, back in, I would say like shortly after I got married in like 2019, I picked up a fishing kayak. I pretty much used like a Hobie Compass 12 foot. And, you know, just ever since then, you know, I've just been fishing as much as I could. And, you know, kayak fishing is, you know, clearly different from wade fishing. You know, used to do a lot of wade fishing before, you know, as well as, you know, pier fishing as, you know, as I told you earlier. And, you know, just the accessibility, the ability to go into like shallow zones, the target speckled trout, redfish, and, even striped bass, is, you know, the versatility is unmatched in my opinion.
Agreed.
And, yeah. And it's fun. It's amazing. Like a lot of times I go out at night, you know, a lot of my, you know, non-fishing friends think I'm crazy for going out at night, but at night, I feel it's, you know, there's less fish pressure. You know, fish like to, you know, roam around, target bait in the shallows and everything. And I'm right there with them.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, anything you can do during the day, you can pretty much do at night. You know, like I've caught reds at night, as well as specks, you know, throwing top water at night. You can cast to, caught specks casting the squirrels, you know, just you can sight cast, you pretty much can do anything you can during the day at night.
Yeah, which is great. For sure. So in your period of fishing, you know, you said, I think it was 2019, maybe that you either got married or got a kayak. Was there a period in your fishing career that kind of took you from, hey, I do this for fun, to like, hey, this is my thing? Was there a fish, or was there an experience or something like that that kind of changed your path into? Because I mean, if you look at your Instagram, you fish, you catch a lot of fish, but you catch big fish, like big stripers, big speckled trout from the kayak. Was there like a turning point for you in your fishing that kind of it was game on?
Yes. Almost 4 years ago, I caught my first like cetacean speckled trout, and you know, I've always been a fan of speckled trout fishing ever since I was young. But it was, you know, up until that moment, I remember what I caught it on. I had spray painted an MR-17 black.
Nice.
And, you know, like I was waiting to receive a couple of like duct tape and shovels, like MR-27s from Flats Class or, and they just didn't arrive in time. And so I just took it upon myself to just, you know, use some spray paint and, you know, just paint that sucker black. And, it was, I'll never forget. I believe it was like April 2020. It was like at low tide, right at dusk. And, I hooked a 26 inch spec, within like a foot and a half of water.
Oh man.
And, like ever since then I got hooked and, hooked even further, I would say.
Right.
And yeah,
gut so hooked.
From that moment, yeah. So from that moment, you know, I started targeting like big specs. Like later on that year in 2020, I fished a couple of tournaments. I fished like a kayak tournament, kayak speckled trout tournament. And, I think I placed like a, you know, modest, like seven out of, you know, whatever, you know, participants in that tournament. And then I had, entered a, Virginia Beach inshore fishing tournament, like, you know, right after that tournament. And, I was fortunate to win it, after catching a 27 and a quarter inch spec.
Wow.
On a jerkbait.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, that further, you know, the hook was even further embedded inside. So after that, so, you know, and, you know, I also got involved with, you know, with establishing a catch log and, you know, so I've got a catch log of like all of my like trophy catches and notable catches and whatnot. And I can't necessarily remember when I got involved with, you know, like the Solo Lunar Theory.
Yeah.
It may have been at the tackle shop. I may have been talking with, you know, one of my buddies, Wayne Seymour. He's kind of like a local legend up here. And I believe he had asked me if I had, you know, used the Solo Lunar Theory. And I was like, you know, I don't know. So I've had like an app that I've always used to just, you know, determine the tide, the tidal flow and whatnot. But I was able to, one day I was just like, man, you know, I'm going to, you know, dive a little deeper in this. And so fortunately with today's technology, you know, you take pics with your phone, you know, you've got your timestamp and everything. And so I like look back into all of my catches and noticed that like most of my trophy catches lined up with the, you know, the waxing gibbous, you
wow.
know, like, you know, days leading up to the full moon. And so I was able to determine a pattern. I was like, man, this, you know, this is, I think I'm onto something.
That's
and so,
cool.
Yeah. So, you know, you start Googling, start YouTube and everything. And, you know, I came across the, Speckled Truth podcast. About the Solo Lunar Theory
yeah.
and, you know, and catching trophy trout, according to, you know, moon phases and whatnot. And, you know, ever since watching that, I just, you know how it is when you're online, you just go down a rabbit hole.
Absolutely.
And so ever since, you know, I pretty much like live and die by it. I mean, obviously the most important thing you can do is just get out when you can. But, you know, I've been able to, you know, speckled trout are so special, you know, like many of the giants feed at a particular window. And so, you know, I've been able to, you know, to just sort of narrow things down and, you know, make my trips more efficient by utilizing the, you know, Solo Lunar method.
That's super cool. That's something that I've paid a lot of attention to, and weather patterns and, you know, guiding. It's not necessarily, I can't always just go on those days, but, you know, really kind of dictates what I'm going to do on those days when I've got that correct weather and the correct moon phase. And it's like, you know, I'm trying very hard to convince my guys to go trout fish if it's the right time of year.
Yeah.
So
I don't blame you.
I've got to ask you though, after spray painting that Mary Lure black, have you tried to replicate that after catching that first citation on it? Did you spray, how many Mary Lures have you sprayed since then?
Well, yeah, I eventually like stepped up, my game by, having my, Mary Lures like professionally done. One of my, buddies, Jay Whitfield, he does like custom mirror lures and whatnot. And, so basically I've been, you know, utilizing him for, you know, to fill up my tackle box.
Heck
but,
yeah.
So, but yeah, you know, the spray paint era was short lived, but, you know, the most important thing is that, you know, it sort of got me into, you know, like lure colors and whatnot. But one of the things that I realized is that, you know, as long as, I mean, at night, I don't know, or colors, I mean, they matter, but, you know, if you get a hungry trout, you know, they're going to strike whatever, you know,
for sure. Right, so place, right time is more important than
yeah,
color
placement. Exactly. You know, there's nothing more important than, you know, than placement, being at the right place at the right time. So, but yeah, yeah. So I try to keep my tackle budget within an acceptable level, you know, to my wife.
It's hard to do sometimes.
Yeah. So, you know, less is more, but yeah, I definitely try to, you know, keep, you know, few dark colors in, you know, in my lure box at night, you know, Mardi Gras colored, you know, mirror lures.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, something about that purple back and that, you know, that chartreuse bottom, you know, drives them wild. So, you know, but yeah,
for sure. So one thing I've noticed, one, talking to you for just a few minutes and then also looking at your Instagram, are you primarily a hard bait fisherman when it comes to speckled trout?
Oh, I've got a story about that. Yes.
Let's hear the story.
I am. I typically use, you know, like anywhere between MR27s, MR17s, jerk baits. Definitely a fan of like, you know, like Yozuri jerk baits, but one of my friends who often goes out with me at night, my buddy Bobby, he's more of like a soft bait, you know, a soft plastic fisherman.
Yeah.
You know, he and I swear, you know, there are times that we would go out and he would like outfish me 2-1.
Wow.
You know, it just using like a 3 to 3.5 inch like Z-Man, like Minnow Z. Mm-hmm. And you know, here I am, you know, being stubborn, you know, just refusing to switch, you know, and this guy's over here just, you know, just slaying them. But like last fall, for example, we went out and I literally, you know, was sold. We went out, he caught a 26 and a 28 inch spec that night on a Minnow Z.
Wow.
Yep. On a Z man.
Just slow and, rolling it.
Slow rolling it. I can't remember. I think he used anywhere between like a 1/8 or a 3/16. No, I would say like a 1/8. I think he used a 1/8 and he was just like, you know, just slow rolling it. And just, he was on fire.
That bite, you know, is pretty wicked when you're slow rolling a swim bait. I mean, they about rip the rod out of your hand sometimes.
Yeah.
And not to take away, my favorite is a hard bait bite, but slow rolling a swim bait for trout is pretty fun when they're eating it good.
Yes. And so I think a couple of days after that night, you know, I was like, you know what, I'm going to rig up with some Z-Man.
So you spent about $1,000 on Minnow Z's after that.
Yeah. And so the next night I went out, I caught a citation. It wasn't as big. It was like 24 inches. on a soft plastic. Nice. And that was like my first, you know, like soft bait, you know, citation. So ever since then, you know, I rig up with it. You know, I keep them on at least two rods just in case, you know, one breaks off or whatnot. So I haven't really, you know, I haven't really looked back, and, you know, in that respect, I pretty much rig up with the, you know, with the Z-Man every time I go out from here on out.
Yeah, for sure. Now, tell me this, two questions. One, is there a specific jig head and hook size that you like for that? And then two, have you played around with like larger swim baits? Yes, you know, they got the diesel minnows up to, I think, 7 inches maybe. But have you played with any of the larger soft plastic swim baits?
Well, all right. Now, as far as like jig head size, I would say I've played around with quite a few sizes, but I found that 1/8, like 1/8 jig head is, I don't know, for some reason, personally, for me, I'm always able to target them in a strike zone with a 1/8.
Yeah.
I've also experimented as light, going as light as like a 112 ounce.
Uh huh.
And, you know, a few nights, you know, a few trips, I've was able to deliver on the 112 where they just wouldn't, you know, wouldn't hit the 1/8 or 3/16.
Yeah.
But as far as, I guess the size profile, I've found that, like the 3-inch is like the most consistent profile for specs, from like, no matter the season.
Yeah. Which, I agree.
You know, and, you know, like I said, you know, shout out to my friend Bobby, you know, I was able to like determine that, just from fishing with him. I mean, he's like, I would say, man, I think it was like December 2022. He caught a 29-inch on a 3-inch paddle tail.
Wow.
So, you know, usually, you know, in the fall, winter, you would throw bigger baits. You would typically throw bigger baits, but, elephants eat peanuts,
and
I pretty much like swear by that. Like I caught my personal best was a 29 3/4 inch spec on a 2 3/4 inch jerk bait.
Nice.
You know, something as small as that, you know, to deliver, you know, a haul of that size, you know,
that I think that's what's so fun about trout fishing is how geeky you can get with the tackle and the tactics and everything. Now I hear you talking about jerk baits. Have you gone down the expensive rabbit hole of bass jerk baits and everything, or do you kind of have a standard pick?
I kind of have a standard pick. I have yet to go the Vision 110. I believe that's it, or the Mega Bass route. I have yet to.
If it costs $40, it's got to catch biggins.
Yeah. Yeah, for real.
They like, better
you
catch
get your money's worth. Yeah, you better get your money's worth dropping money like that on a jerk bait. But I pretty much have my set, like jerk baits. You know, like I love the, the 3D minnow?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So the 3D minnow works really well for me. The fingerling, Illusory fingerling, like those are two jerk baits that I definitely have in my lure box. They work really well. So, I haven't really had the itch to branch out, you know, because they've worked so well for me.
I feel like too, if you've got something that works, once you start going way deep, then all of a sudden you're changing lures too much and you're not actually fishing. You're sitting there like playing around with what might work instead of just keeping a bait in the water, which is, I mean, for some people, half the fun is sitting there and going through their tackle box and changing out baits and, you know, getting a couple bites that way. But, if your bait's not in the water, you're not going to get bit. So I have purchased some jerk baits that I would not want my wife to see the price tag on. And most of those I haven't fished. They're not terribly expensive, but some of a handful of Japanese jerk baits and some mega bass stuff. But you get scrolling through some of those tackle sites and you're like, wow, that's a cool color. I'm definitely going to catch fish on that. But If you're like us here at Eastern Current, your boat trailer takes a beating. That's why we want to tell you about Coastal Trailer Repair, located here in Wilmington, North Carolina. At Coastal Trailer Repair, they strive to bring quality work at a reasonable price, specializing in trailer hubs, springs, and all things electrical and wiring. If you have an issue with your trailer, look no further than Coastal Trailer Repair to get you back on the road. You can find their information in the podcast show notes. Do you fish any of the corkies up there? Any of the soft plastic twitch baits?
I do. And, you know, as I'm talking to you right now, I'm staring at a couple soft rigged up. But yes, I do. And you know, I typically fish those in like the, you know, like mid fall.
Yeah.
You know, up through the winter. But you know, I definitely want to try throwing some in the spring to see what, you know, see what I can do. I found them to be very effective.
Yeah, that's a style of bait that's becoming real popular here in North Carolina now. And you look at Texas and a lot of those guys, especially if you talk to some of the traditional guys throwing those baits, it's all wading. They're like, you don't fish those baits from a boat, but nobody wades in North Carolina, and so fishing them from a boat here is what gets done. But the little peanut has been real effective, and some of the other larger ones. But just it's a cool take. Definitely a bait that I don't want a redfish to find, though they do eat them really well. But man, they destroy them so quick. One decent redfish, and you got $11 gone.
Say, you know what? Same with the bluefish too. I mean, you know, they will definitely cause you to run up a tab at the tackle shop.
absolutely. That's where the Z-Mans do save you a little bit in the bluefish, but they can still tear those things up pretty good too. So tell me this, fishing from a kayak, you've got to be very selective and effective with what you're bringing on the boat, what you're taking. What does your kind of setup look like? If you're going out for an evening of fishing, how many rods, you know, are you having a couple there rigged with certain baits to kind of move through your night? And how do you effectively stay fishing while you're on the water? Essentially, that's like five questions mashed into one confusing one.
Hey, I'm going to try to answer all five of them. If I forget one, just let me know.
Okay, all right.
But, you know, my approach to kayak fishing is less is more. I try my best to have just as much gear, you know, with regards to like lures and whatnot, to have just enough that if I lose a couple, I still have a couple more. I go out there rigged with like four rods. And when I'm like speckled trout fishing, for example, I pretty much carry like four of like the same setups, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah,
I'll give an example. Like, I use like Falcon Coastal, like seven and a half inch rods, and I've got them all rigged up with the same Penn Battle 2500s. And, you know, I use, let me see, I got them all rigged up with like 12 pound braid with a 20 pound fluorocarbon, Seaguar fluorocarbon. So, you know, I make sure that everything is, pretty much the same, just in case if I, you know, get broken off or, you know, get snagged, I can just go right next to the wreck, you know, go to the next rod and reel. So I won't have to, you know, deal with the learning curve or anything. You know, I know the exact weight. I know the exact setup. I usually go out there with a, you know, rig with a couple hard baits, couple soft baits. Come rigged and ready when I hit the boat ramp. What else? I've got, you know, obviously have my, you know, my net, couple rod holders. I keep like a ram mount, where I, you know, attach my phone for, you know, for picks and whatnot.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and you know, PFD, of course, you know, definitely need your PFD.
Definitely do.
Got to build just in case if things go sideways. So, you know, as far as like electronics, you know, to each his own, but, like when I, you know, during my 9 to 5, I'm staring at screens like all day.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, I pretty much go out to, you know, to just disconnect. So as far as like electronics, I don't use them. I just, you know, just, you know, just go out there and, you know, see what I can do.
I think that's awesome, man. I mean, I'm becoming more of a slave to my electronics because I don't think I'd have electronics at all if I didn't guide. But
yeah,
opening up some doors or finding some fish that I might not have found, it's that that edge sometimes. But man, there's something about just going out there with no electronics and fishing rods and a few lures and fishing. I mean, that's what it's supposed to be like. It's simple, and I feel like the most mm-hmm. joy is brought out of it. And this as simply as you can do it, you know, whether that's yeah. walking a beach or fishing from a kayak or boat. And it's mm-hmm. though I don't know what I would do without a trolling motor on my boat. If I had to drop an anchor every time I fished nowadays, I'd be in better shape. That's for sure. But
Yeah. And, you know, and it's funny you mentioned that because that's something I forgot. Yes, I do have my anchor as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because, you know, the slightest breeze can like throw you like or can like push you like 4 or 5 feet, you know, or, you Absolutely. Know, down the creek. So, you know, definitely come equipped with my, you know, with my anchor. And, you know, when I'm in like shallow zones, you know, I've got a, you know, stakeout pole as well. To, you know, push me through just in case if I run up on like, you know, oyster beds or whatnot. But, one of the things I do, you know, as far as like pre-planning is concerned, you know, I try to go out on days, with, you know, heavy tidal swings. So, you know, I typically go out on like low tide to, you know, to just target the, oyster beds, you know, different potholes, pockets and whatnot. You know, simply because, you know, that's where a lot of the, you know, the predatory fish, you know, gravitate, you For know? Sure. And, so, I mean, you know, when I'm out there fishing, you know, I have like a saying that's, you know, that, you know, if they're not in the shallows, we're not meant to be, you know? So, you know, I'd narrow things down by just targeting the shallows because, you know, there's nothing like, you know, catching 26, 28 in a speck in like, you know, 1.5 to 3 feet of water.
Absolutely.
You know, but you know, that's where the, you know, where they like to gravitate to. But yeah, you know, I try to go out with as much and as less as possible if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. So would you say that, Are you typically always trying to target speckled trout, or do you play around with some of the other fish as well, or is it are you more of a trout junkie?
Well, you know, I love reds. You know, usually like in the late spring, summer months, I target reds. This, you know, striper. I love striper. You know, like. Speck, striper, and reds are pretty much like my, you know, my top three inshore fish. And, you know, sometimes in, you know, every now and then in summers I'll target flounder, but, you know, just mainly, you know, mainly reds. But aside from, you know, reds and striper, you know, I guess you could say I'm a trout junkie.
So in your area, are the trout seasonal? Is it for the most part, are you getting your citations like other places in the fall and winter and spring, or can you consistently catch, you know, decent sized trout throughout the summer where you are as well?
Yeah. Well, you know, obviously in the state you can catch decent sized specks, like, you know, pretty much year round. My area specifically, you know, like I've achieved like great success in, you know, in the fall. Yeah. You know, early spring, I would say up through like the first or second week of May.
Okay.
Yeah. That's kind of like when they move up. But like usually after that second week of May, things kind of like shut down, and then I start, you know, further targeting reds. So
yeah, for sure. Is mm-hmm. your striper fishing that you do there? I'm guessing you're probably in slightly different water than where you're getting your trout and whatnot. I saw that really big striper you caught. Are you going out when you're catching those big stripers and specifically targeting those fish, or can you stumble into those when you're fishing the shallows?
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you, you know, like our fishery and, you know, in Virginia is so wonderful. It's so special. You know, you can, you can catch striper like that in the shallows. You know, you can catch, you know, same with reds. You can catch them in, you know, in the shallows, you can catch them, you know, deeper water, whatnot, you know, by just going out, you know, like past the jetties. But, I pretty much, as far as like, you know, targeting striper, I obviously target structure, you know, bridges, you know, oyster beds, of course, but, I would say that striper in particular was caught in one of my trout holes.
That's awesome.
And I was in the Virginia trout pool last year, and I tell you, Joe, I thought I had the one.
Slight disappointment, and then turned back into excitement probably when you saw it.
Yeah, pretty much, because, like, you know, I was anchored up at the time that I hooked it. And I was like, oh man, I think this is it. You know, I think this is that 30. But as soon as I like released my, my clip and my anchor, like I started getting dragged around the inlet. So I was like, no, that's not a spec.
If it is, you just set a world record.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. How long from a kayak did it take to land that fish?
I would say a little over 10 minutes, actually. A little over 10 minutes because, and I'll tell you why, you know, usually like with, you know, speckled trout fishing, I set my drag like pretty light,
yeah,
you know? And so, you know, for a great part of the time, that's what I thought I had on the other end of the line, you know? And so I pretty much was just, you know, just babying it, so to speak, you know, and I was just like, you know, just let it run until it gets tired, but it never got tired. And So
that's awesome.
So, like when I landed, I literally had to like straddle the kayak because it just took up all the space in the center.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But I was pretty excited though. I was really excited. I was a little disappointed for a second, but you know, that disappointment turned to excitement.
Oh, for sure. How big did that fish end up going?
It was 37 inches.
God, that's awesome. That's so awesome.
Yeah. Yep, that thing was 37 inches. I mean, it was like way longer than my catch board.
That's sick. There's something so cool about catching fish and then also catching big fish from a kayak. Like you're right there in the water with them. Well, I watched the videos of guys catching big tarpon, 120, 150 pound tarpon from kayaks. I'm like, that looks wild.
Oh my goodness. Oh yeah. So you'll get pulled around a lot for a long time.
Turn the kayak into a jet ski.
Yeah, for real. That's a nature's sea toe. That's a sea toe right there.
Absolutely. So do you have any good windows coming up with the Solooner tables for the next little bit, last little hoorah of the, you know, the spring trout season for you? Any days you're excited to get out?
Well, you know what, Joe, that's a good question. Like this, I tell you, these past few weeks, I would tell you, this is the first time I hadn't fished in like February. And like, I don't even know who I am anymore.
You're busy. You know, so you life, are.
Yeah. Life just got in the way. But, you know, like ever since the 1st of March hit, you know, we've had some fairly decent weather windows to go out. However, it's just, you know, my schedule just has not lined up with the tide, so to speak. So, but usually like, I mean, as far as like speckled trout fishing, this March is usually the month where I, you know, start getting serious. But like in January, February, usually, I'm usually out as early as January targeting them. But, like I said, you know, we just, you know, life just kind of got in the way, but,
for sure.
Within the next, you know, few days, you know, I plan to get out, probably in spite of the rain, you know, the fish are already wet. So
absolutely.
I just, you know, just slap on my Grundins and, you know, and just deal with it.
Exactly. It seems like the big trout like to bite in that weather. Like the days that people don't want to be out there is usually when you see some pictures. It's funny how looking at social media, you'll see on those, like, you know, pre full moon days or, you know, when the conditions are right and the weather's gnarly and you see all these big trout pop up on Instagram, you're like, you know,
that's
you can really track trends and and whatnot through just watching what goes up on Instagram, if you really paid attention to it. That's not something I do, but something I've kind of noticed over time.
That's right. That's right. I mean, that's the truth. Like me, unfortunately, I'm a fisherman first and like a social media guy, like 9th or 10th.
Hey, that's not an unfortunate thing.
I'm like one of those guys who don't post my catches like right away. Like I'll forget to, I'll be like, oh, I'll get around to it. You know, cause it's just that special not to, but,
right,
sometimes
right.
I'll post like, you know, and I've caught it like 3 weeks, you know, you know, 3 weeks,
right.
You know, 3 weeks in, and I'm like, oh, I think I'll go ahead and share that thing now. So, absolutely. But yeah, I've noticed that too. And the thing is that when you see, you know, folks, you know, post pics of trophy trout, whether it be trophy trout, striper, redfish on those foul weather days, you know, the FOMO that you experience is real.
Oh man, it's so real.
You know, you start kicking yourself. You're like, damn, I should have gone out. But you
know, what have I done?
I know.
We only get so many of those days, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, but yeah. So my goal is to limit the amount of FOMO that I have this year, you know, or you know, in previous years. And
FOMO
just, you know,
limitations.
Get out when I can, man. Be one of those guys that post a foul weather, big one.
I think one of the benefits of that, you know, being married and whatnot, is taking advantage of fishing at night. So many people forget that, hey, you can get the kids to bed and you can kiss the wife goodnight and go hook your kayak up or go put your kayak in your truck bed or hook your boat up and go fish at night. Yeah. So
exactly. You know, you as much as you want to get out there during the day, you know, when you have a 9-to-5, it can be difficult unless you, you know, unless you call in sick.
Right. Exactly.
You know, but yeah, I mean, I tell you the key to, at least for me to, you know, to going out catching, you know, fishing when I can, whether it be at night or, you know, before work is having a wife that knows that knows that you have a passion.
Absolutely.
And she doesn't mind, you know, and, you know, I work from home a lot. So, you know, she's often like, well, you need to get out of the house anyway. So, you know, I'll be like, hey, you mind if I go fishing? And she's like, go right ahead. So
that's awesome.
You know, so yeah.
A supportive wife is always helpful for an obsession.
Exactly. So,
well, man, I've had an awesome time chatting and definitely want to get you back on again. But before we wrap up, share your Instagram and how people can find you on there. So if they want to chat or check out your pictures or follow you on the water, they can.
Oh, sure. Yeah. My Instagram is the Underwood IG. Yep. You can find me out there at Instagram. Judd, I would definitely appreciate the shout out.
Sure.
A few weeks ago. You know?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Definitely appreciate that. But yeah, you can find me on Instagram. Yep, the Underwood IG.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for chatting. I had a great time getting to know you through the podcast, and we'll have to get on the water sometime and catch some fish together.
Hey, that sounds great. And I look forward to making it down there to Carolina to fish with you guys one day.
Yeah, man. You let me know. You're welcome on the boat anytime.
Oh, I appreciate it. I appreciate it, brother.
Right
on.
Take
care.
Well, guys, thanks for checking out another Eastern Current episode. Enjoyed this conversation a lot tonight and being able to chat about speckled trout is a passion of mine and love sharing these conversations with y'all. So, as always, thanks for checking it out, and we'll see y'all next week. Later.